So first of all, welcome to the fourth and last Sunday of Advent. Christmas is just a few days away. Can you believe it? It's so hard to believe that we're here. The time has come to celebrate Jesus. And I hope in that amidst of all the details and planning and craziness that can happen around the holidays, I hope that you are able to find ways to center your heart and mind on Jesus and truly be filled with anticipation of the joy of celebrating his birth. We know that that's really what this season is all about. It can get caught up in so many other things. So it's great if we can just focus ourselves on him. And I've been building up today in our reflections on who Jesus is. We've talked about the fact that he is our light. He's the light of the world who gives light to everyone. He's our living hope. He gives us reason to look forward to what God will do in each and every day of our lives. And he is our joy. Life in Christ is filled with such lasting joy. And finally, today we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our Savior. The birth of Jesus is an act of love and grace by God to offer salvation to all people. Jesus came to be with us, to draw near to people who had turned away from and rejected God and the life that he desires for us. We recognize the truth in what the Bible says about us and our world. We read right in the beginning of the Word that God created a wonderful world and created mankind in his image to be the caretakers of it. So I'd like to begin there in the Bible today. If you want to open up to Genesis chapter 1, let's read the beginning of the story of God and mankind. We're going to read Genesis 1, 27 through 31 this morning to start things off. We read here, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So as God finished his creation and established mankind as its caretakers, he declared it all very good. But the first people we know, Adam and Eve, and every person since then, has in one way or another pursued their own desires, placing themselves as a higher priority, even a higher authority than God and everyone else. That's how we tend to see ourselves when we're left to our own passions and desires. We see ourselves as most important. And that is the essence of sin, really, self-righteousness and self-promotion. So sin and its cumulative effects have created the problems of our world today. It's important for us all to take a moment and recognize and admit this truth without trying to explain it away or to cast any judgment on it. So we're so often quick to judge some actions as worse than others. Right, we often in our world today identify sin according to relative badness, right? Some things are worse than others, and that's really bad. But what I do, well, I have reasons for why I do what I do. So it's not so bad. We tend to explain away our own bad choices. We're quick to judge others as worse than us. But in making that kind of judgment, we're trying to rank sin to make some things more acceptable. And in our human societies, we do the same thing. We define some selfish and sinful behaviors as okay, because everyone does it. It's all right. And those things change as cultures change. Our standards are always changing in human societies. So unless we stay grounded in devotion to God and what his word defines as morally good, we easily drift in our thinking about sin and start to say that only really bad things are sinful. And we try to start to accept or try to explain that most of us are not so bad. We're only human. Nobody's perfect. We all do bad things sometimes, so it's okay. But that's not how God understands the world. Our cultures even often celebrate a certain amount of selfishness and selfish pride, self-promotion. We elevate those who use personal power to get others to do their bidding as long as we agree with their outcomes. This is a very human way of explaining our self-centered behaviors and minimizing the impact of sin in God's world and our relationships with it. And that in itself is sinful, honestly. If it ignores God as creator and perfect designer of life, and it places us, again, as the ultimate authority deciding what's right and wrong. But when we minimize our sin like that, we mask our understanding of our need for a Savior, and we miss out on what a marvelous gift Jesus is. We have all sinned against God, every one of us. And that's the reality when we measure our lives and our choices against God's perfect standard. As we read throughout the Old Testament, we see people who were given directly God's commands, and they agreed to follow them, to live in relationship with him, and they repeatedly fell away. That's the history of mankind. We all do it. We cannot overcome our own sinful nature by our own willpower. And as good as we may believe we are, if left to our own ways, every one of us is only a few steps away from making really terrible choices, pursuing things we believe will benefit us. That's the reality we all need to confront when we think about our need for a Savior. The Apostle Paul describes us as spiritually dead in our sin. We read this in Ephesians chapter 2. If you'd like to read along with me in that, we'll read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul speaks plainly when he's writing to us, to Christians, when he writes this letter. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." None of us escapes that judgment. We have all sinned. We are all dead in our sins. And when we understand and accept that truth, we can really begin to grasp the wonder and the beauty of what Jesus has done and why his birth is worth celebrating all the time. We can read on what Paul says next in verse 4. He says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." That is the wonderful gift of Christmas. Jesus came to give us opportunity for a spiritual resurrection, to be made alive again, not as we once were, but as a new creation filled with the Holy Spirit, able to live in new ways with the presence and guidance of God himself each day. Jesus' birth is an expression of God's grace, his unconditional love for you and me and for every person in existence. Quoting Paul again, this time from Romans 5, 6 through 8, he says, "You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus came to give life, to save people from the fate of their own sin. So Christmas is a celebration of the Savior of mankind coming into the world to begin this incredible work. As an adult, Jesus would read one of the prophecies about himself from the prophet Isaiah, explaining why he would come. He quoted Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. We can read that as well together. Isaiah 61. Give us a moment to find that. You say, oh, that's right. I thought you had something to add. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's what Jesus said he came to do. And we are those poor people he came to proclaim good news to. People poor in spirit, living in the darkness of this world. We are the brokenhearted he came to bind up, to offer healing from the wounds inflicted by this world. We are those captives he came to relief, our captives to our own sinful desires and the consequences of our sin. And Jesus is not just a savior, he is the savior of mankind. As Paul proclaims in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only Savior. Because he is the Son of God, the only Son of God. He came as a human child, but he is also divine, eternal, and all-powerful. Only he has lived a sin-free life of devotion to the Father. And his is the only life capable of making payment for the sins of mankind. Only he is capable of intervening on behalf of those who put their faith in him and declare them to be pure and righteous when they stand in final judgment before the throne of God. We celebrate at Christmas that Jesus, the Savior of mankind, was born. We celebrate that this child is the King of Kings. His name is above all names, and he is worthy of all praise. That in spite of our sin, he chose to love us and came to offer himself to us all. So with all that in mind, I think it's appropriate for us today to take a moment to reflect on our understanding of who Jesus is, a Savior. For many of us, most of us here, I know that everything I've shared today is a reminder of what you already know to be true. But our life and faith isn't just a one-time agreement. It's not something that we just say a prayer and it's done and we're just sealed there and live that life forever. It's an ongoing journey. And we need constant reminders of who Jesus is and what he did. We need his mercies every day. And so it's important for us each to commit ourselves again and again, to draw close to him, to recognize him as Savior and know our need for him. It's not that you have to reconfess your sin or be re-forgiven. No, Jesus' sacrifice was once for all, and your profession of faith seals your forgiveness forever. It's sufficient to cover all your sin, but we do tend to stray, don't we? We tend to lose sight of who Jesus is. We tend to lose sight of our own sin. And we need to refocus on him again. And so Christmas especially is a good opportunity for us to refocus, to remember the gift that God has given us. What an important gift his salvation is. So today, if you already know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to praise him once again, to draw close to him as we remember who he is and all he's accomplished for us. Recall what a difference that he has made in your life. And give thanks for the changes that he makes, even changes you may not be aware of. As I was writing that part about being reborn in Christ, not as we once were, I think it's easy for us to take for granted that once you put your faith in Jesus, you are not the same person at all. You have new wisdom. You have new access to the Spirit. And that is not something that every human being has. So it's such a valuable gift that he's given us, that we're capable of living in a new way because of what Jesus has done. We give him thanks for what he is doing in us. And if you're listening to this today and the news of Jesus being Savior of mankind is reaching you in a way it never has before, If this is the first time you're really coming to recognize the truth of your own sin and your need for a Savior, let me first assure you that Jesus came for you as well. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how you've lived your life. It doesn't matter how you're living your life right now. What matters is that Jesus came for you. And he invites you into a new life with him. He invites you to confess your sin and to receive him as a sacrifice worthy of forgiving you and giving you a new life. In Romans 10, 9 through 10, Paul writes, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." So let today be the day you declare your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and know that you have been risen to new life in him. Let today be the day that Jesus raises you up and gives you that life. And as you embark on this journey of a life of faith in Jesus Christ, for you, let this be your first Christmas as a new creation in Jesus Christ. We all give thanks today that Jesus is our Savior. That is what we celebrate at Christmas time. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope to see you back here in a couple of days as we celebrate that wonderful gift. Let's give thanks this week that Jesus is our light, our hope, our joy, and our Savior. I'm going to praise him with prayer and then one more song. And as you're leaving today, I know Wendy has a gift that she wants to give you, or Merry Christmas gift for you. So make sure you touch base with her before you leave. So let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in spite of our sin. Lord, we do pray that you help us to just be honest with ourselves as we look at our lives and we look at the choices and desires that we wrestle with each day. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit to help us reconcile those desires with your desires for us. May you give us a passion to pursue you instead. We thank you for the new life that we have in Jesus. We thank you for your mercies that are new every day. We pray for those who hear this message, who do not know you, that they too may come to new life in you as well. We thank you, Lord, for sending us your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.